Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, everybody, get your feet happy. Let's go. Come on.
Don't love.
Cost you anything to believe, but it costs you not to believe. Welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Lewis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We are happy to have each and every one of you guys, and we thank God for you. This is Thankful Thursday. Hallelujah. Thankful Thursday. So as we go about this broadcast today, I always like to tell people to be thankful for the Word, man. It ain't nothing like when you can look in that Word, you can find scriptures that you're thankful for. That is one of the most awesome things there is, man, that you can see the love of God because you can be thankful for it. We're going to ask Pastor Bell from Akron, Ohio, if she'd be so kind to give us a word of prayer. Oh, okay, there's Evangelist Renee, but I'm going to go and ask Pastor Bill if she will give us a word of prayer.
Praise the Lord, and good afternoon, everyone, and thank you, Pastor, for that song. Amen, amen. Goodbye to our pain, goodbye to our sorrow, and goodbye to any trouble. Amen. The scripture I'd like to open up with is coming from 1 Thessalonians 5 and verses 16 through 19. It says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. My spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, thanking you for another day. Thanking you, Father God, that we're coming together on another Thankful Thursday. We're thankful for our pastor as he recovers, and we're thankful that those that are listening by internet and those that have called in. Father God, we're thankful for this word that we're learning to believe, Father God, and to trust in you. Father God, we ask that you would be with all those that are sick and shut in today. You said in your word, by your stripes we are healed. Be with the bereaved families and those that are going through. You say you will keep the imperfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So Father God, help us to all stand on your word, trust it, believe it, and don't doubt it. And Father God, encourage our hearts and help us to encourage one another to be strong in the Lord, no matter what they may be facing, no matter what they're going through, but to be strong and to trust in you. Father God, we give you thanks for this word, and we thank the word, Father God. Help us open up our hearts and our minds to receive it. We ask it all in Christ Jesus' name. We pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Well, this is Thankful Thursday, and I wanted to pick up where we left off yesterday, and we will get there eventually. But first, we want to acknowledge that it is Thankful Thursday. Yesterday, we were talking about knowing is better, and that's the principal thing is knowing. And how you get there. We talked about the difference between knowing and believing. And it is possible to know something and not believe it. And we also talked about, is belief a way of knowing? So we're going to go back to that in a moment. But before we do that, anyone like to be thankful for something? And somebody texted me and thought I was rude yesterday, but I wasn't rude. So I'm going to clear that up because the guy said his wife looked better than somebody else's wife. I just don't have time for that foolishness, okay? So you coming here with that kind of craziness, we're not here for that, okay? To debate who wife look better and you ain't got no hair and this one love hair. We ain't got that, all that craziness. That's of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, and I stand on the pastor. Do you think I was rude?
I don't think you was rude, Pastor. And you was just letting him know, you know, we were here for the word and for the scripture. And so you asked him if it was pertaining to the scripture. And he said yes, but then it slipped over to his brother and, you know, all that other stuff. So, no, I didn't think you were rude.
Okay, thank you so much. And if anybody else thought I was rude, press 1 and then state your claim. If not, we're going to continue on in what we were talking about this week. And that is knowing, and to know, we talked about that's knowledge. But what kind of knowledge? True knowledge. You don't want to get any kind of knowledge. You want to get true knowledge, okay? And I'm going to tell you something else. All knowledge ain't true.
Mm-hmm.
But about that one. All the knowledge you've gained has not been true. That's why we have to go to the Word of God. Because when I think about knowledge, I'm thinking about facts or condition or something that you gain. And the only way you can get knowledge or knowing a thing is two ways, either experience or association. You're going to either gain knowledge through experience, or you're going to gain knowledge through association. And I'm talking about true knowledge. So you gain these facts or condition, and it made you aware of something, and you have that truth, that knowledge. So to sum up what is knowing, is a body of truth or information and principles. That's how you sum up knowing, okay? It is a body of truth. And so you can say, you know what? Like we said the other day with what Minister Robinson said, yeah, you want to know, man. You'd rather know. And knowing is how you got there, okay? You got there because then you can believe it. See?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times people try to believe without knowing. And, how can I know about your God when I ain't never heard of your God? So that's what Romans 10 talking about. And then how am I here without a preacher? So you gain knowledge. Somebody teach you. Somebody told you. So it's only two ways, through experience or through association, simply meaning that you got it through, you observe something, you gain that knowledge. So we're going to go to I don't see nobody press one, so I'm going to go ahead on. I was waiting. So I'm going to go ahead on with where we were at yesterday and pick that up. Is it possible to know something without believing? And some philosopher argued this issue that a person can know that something is true unless that person believes that it is true. Well, what believing is? Believing is acting on the thing. Because there's other philosophers have argued that it is possible to know that something is true without believing it is true. So I'm going to leave it right there for you to know that the Bible says that you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Or one translation says make you free. So you gain this truth by believing in truth. So let's go back to Peter. I think it was in 2 Peter. Go to 2 Peter. Because God wants you to know. He wants you to have the knowledge. See, having the knowledge means he wants you to know. And he wants you to know it all. Mm-hmm. So in 2 Peter, Pastor, if you'd be so kind to read that. Well, I can read it out of King James, and you can read it out of Messenger or God's Word. Listen, I'm going to start with the second verse. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through knowledge of God. That's knowing God. That's what knowledge is. Knowledge is knowing, which is better. And of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his divine power, have given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. That's another thing. How you know where you've been called without the knowledge? That's what we've been called to, his glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly and great precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of a divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue to your knowledge, and knowledge temperance, unto temperance patience, and to patience godliness. And the seventh verse says, and to goodness, godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, that makes you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. And that was down to, was that the eighth verse, Pastor?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, reading it from God's Word and beginning with the second verse. May goodwill and peace fill your lives through your knowledge about Jesus, our Lord. I'm sorry, our God and Lord. God's divine power has given us everything we need for life and for godliness. This power was given to us through knowledge of the one who called us by his own glory and integrity. Through his glory and integrity, he has given us his promises that are of the highest value. Through these promises, you will share in the divine nature because you have escaped the corruption that sinful desires cause in the world. Because of this, make every effort to add integrity to your faith, and to integrity add knowledge, the knowledge, add self-control. To self-control, endurance. To endurance, add godliness. To godliness, add Christian affection. And to Christian affection, add love. If you have these qualities, they are increasing. It demonstrates the knowledge about our Lord Jesus Christ is living and productive. Amen.
Amen. Amen. See, we want to gain as much knowledge as possible. And I've said this several times. The Word of God said, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. God wants you to know. It's like, for instance, when it comes to Galatians 6:2. Now, I know some people going to have issues with this, but it's okay. Do your research. But in Galatians 6:2, it says Christ is the end of the law. So there's no more law. We're not living by the law. Now,
amen.
How you know that? See, I hope what you're saying is right. No, you want to know, like the brother said, mm-hmm. You want to know this stuff. You don't want to assume. You don't want to think it. You don't want to fit. No, you want to know that, hey, I'm no longer living by the law, so therefore I don't have to be subject to the law because I'm living in the law mm-hmm. of liberty. I'm living in the law mm-hmm. of faith now. So I don't live by the Mosaic law or by these other laws, because all that was a yoke of bondage, according to Galatians 5:1. Yeah, you don't need that. But see, you know this through knowledge. That's why it's so much better. So much better.
Yeah.
See, you know what makes us perfect? Knowledge. Understand what perfect is. Perfect means complete. That's what it means. It doesn't mean without flaw. Well, because first thing people say, oh, ain't nobody perfect. Well, in your way of thinking, you're right. In your way of thinking, you're absolutely right. But when you have true knowledge, you are perfect because you're in Christ. And being in Christ, he makes you perfect because he makes you complete. Job was a perfect and upright man. What made him perfect? He did what was required. And that's all I'm saying. When you get the knowledge and you know this, yeah, you can say, I'm the very righteousness of God by faith. You have righteousness. Because, see, a lot of times people, they want to teach the Word of God as a condemnation. None is righteous but the Lord. And see, that old stuff sound good because you've been condemned all your life. And that's something you're familiar with.
Yeah.
So you quickly say amen, you know, because that's what you've been used to. You used to being people condemning you.
Yeah.
But flip the script and say, you know what, let me get some knowledge about this. It's just like the true tabernacle. The Bible said we are the true tabernacle. Hebrews 9.
Mm-hmm.
You get this through knowledge, through knowing, not through feeling, not through religion, not find it. I think it's Hebrews 9. It's been a minute since I visited that. Follow that. Find that for me, Pastor. I think it's Hebrews 9. And it's just like, because God showed me something yesterday. He wants you to be with him through eternity. It is not his will that you don't be with him. Who told you that lie? So God has provided a way so you can hang out with him through eternity. But the devil don't want you to know that. He wants us to think, well, God getting ready to get rid of us. He's going to throw a bunch of us in the hell. That never been God's will. Here, you're a parent, and you wouldn't do that to your children, but yet you'll put that on God. You make God this big, bad boogeyman. That's foolishness. That's why we need the true knowledge so we can believe. We'll have the true thing to believe in. See, when you get true knowledge, then you can have faith in it. You can have faith in this crazy stuff. But when you get truth, then you have knowledge, then you can believe. That's the way it has to work. But you want to believe in truth, man. Okay, Pastor, you want to read that scripture for me?
Pastor, you said Hebrews 9, and what verse did you want?
The first verse. I think that's where
first
it's at.
Verse. Okay. Then, verily, the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary.
Read on.
Amen. Okay. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot and the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, and over it the chair of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak harshly. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meat and drink and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation.
But right, which is now.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where, but you only get this through knowledge, through knowing what it was, how it was done, through the process in which it was, the old and the new. Mm-hmm. There's a big difference. So in that eighth chapter where it talks about now of the things which had been spoken, he said, we have such an high priest who is sit on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, meaning that there was another tabernacle, but it wasn't true. This was the true tabernacle, which the Lord picked and not man. See? But you got to have that knowledge so you can know that there is another tabernacle, the one the Lord picked. But now you might say, oh, that's going to be in heaven. Well, see, that's where you need knowledge. You need to know that he's talking about us. So when you do your research, you'll come to find out that you know that he's talking about the old covenant and the new covenant. See? Well, that comes through knowing.
Yeah.
Knowing you got that through knowledge, okay? So we're going to kind of leave it right there with the, but that's what we're talking about, knowing. Then you can believe it. You can believe it, man. You didn't have nothing to believe before, but now you have something to believe. In other words, you got something to act on now. So you can go around and say, hey, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. You can go around and say, I'm no longer in bondage. but I'm free. Because you know that, because you have the knowledge of that. You've been redeemed from the curse of the law. You know, you got the knowledge now. I'm not living by the old covenant. I'm living by the new covenant. How you got the knowledge. You know that now. So knowing, you can believe. And that, there's a difference. So let me not get that twisted. Yeah, there's a difference. But you got to know why you want secondhand information. Because God wants you to act on the word of God. You know how you get eternal life?
Amen.
Through believing. And if you didn't have this, we would be cuckoo. Because we'd be kind of like, okay, Lord, what is it? Like they asked the question. Yeah. I don't know. We got last week, but we asked the question, what comes first, belief or knowledge? Again, theologian and theology, they all have labeled this aspect as faith, for instance, from knowledge to acknowledgement. Now, but listen, brothers and sisters, what comes first, it all depends on your situation. For instance, you see the chair, so that would be an acknowledgement, but can you trust it? Well, you might sit in it first and trust it. But this goes back to no one, when they first believe on Christ, understand everything about the Bible. So there's a development there. You have to know some things.
Yes.
That's why you want to get into that, knowing. Once you get, I'm going to tell you right now, once you get born again, you don't know this stuff. You just like any other baby.
Amen.
You have to grow. You have to grow in knowledge. So that's what he was talking about yesterday in the book of Peter. We have to grow into this knowledge. And you don't grow by being religious. You don't grow because...
Yeah.
Well, you know what, I think this or I feel this. No, you grow in knowledge, in knowing.
Yeah.
That's what Peter said yesterday. Well,
anyway,
anyone have anything they want to share, press 1. And again, I'm going to thank Minister Robinson for bringing light to that, knowing and believing.
Amen.
And also, I don't know, I told y'all, he surprised me. He was here with my doing my surgery, and I thank God for that.
That's beautiful.
The Bible says, and we know that all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord and call according to the first. When you had some experience with the Lord, you just know. That's where you get it. You get knowledge through experience or through observation. And I've been with the Lord enough to know that he will not forsake you. I mean, I've been around the Lord enough to know that, yea, though he slay me, yet can I trust him. See, I've had enough experience with God that I can share this with you. I've been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor it seed begging bread.
Hallelujah.
I mean, I've seen some things.
Hallelujah.
That don't mean I didn't see nobody in no welfare line. That don't mean I haven't seen nobody on food stuff. But I've seen, but what I never seen is the righteous forsaken. I ain't never seen. If you're right, you will not be forsaken. And you will not beg bread. Now, that's some stuff I've never, where that come through knowledge? How did I get that? Through observation or experience? So I'm going to use my experience and let you know God had been there right at the nick of time. When I thought all was lost, all was gone, boom, God showed up and showed out. That's experience.
Hallelujah.
That's how I know he'll be there for you. A lot of times people say that. I know the Lord. No, I know because of experience, and I know because of observation. Now, you've gained knowledge other ways. I'm sure you have. Just like your job. You didn't get it through observation. You got it through experience. You did it.
Amen.
So it's better knowing the thing. So once you know that, then you can believe that.
See? Amen.
Anyone else? I'm gonna press one.
Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, I just wanted to read. I wanted to read John, the 11th chapter.
Evangelist Pastor Marilyn. Hallelujah.
Oh, amen.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Pastor, I pray that all is well with you and Pastor Bell and Pastor Beasley.
Amen.
I just want to say that I've been through the storms, and God has always brought me through. He's never left me in the middle. He's never forsaken me. He's never said, no, you're not my child, and I'm just going to abandon you. God doesn't do that. He loves us. He loves us from the beginning, and he will always love us, and he will never leave us or forsake us. And like you said, I've experienced that. That's my experience with God. If I had not experienced that, then I would not. I knew it as a child because it, you know, it was in the, it was taught to me. But when you have experience, that's a whole nother. That's a whole nother thing. To have experience that God will never leave you nor forsake you. At the point of death, he will never leave you or never forsake you. At the point of illness, he will never leave you nor forsake you. At the point of going through, he will never leave us nor forsake us. So those are my experiences with God. I know who he is. I know he's real. I know he's God. I know without a shadow of doubt. Yeah, that's all I had to say. God bless everyone.
God bless.
See, when you know, then you can believe. That's when you can act on that thing because you know. You've had that experience that we were talking about. You know now. So, hey, she'll have a problem with trusting God. She does. Yeah, so she get on the operating table, she calling on God because she knows.
That's it.
That he's going to come through.
That's it.
Amen.
When you know God's going to work for you, that's awesome.
Amen.
God will put people around you who need to be around you when they need to be around you and the way they need to be around you.
That's right. Amen. Praise God. Amen.
Okay. Somebody else had pressed one. And then, Pastor, you were saying something, too.
Go ask your mom.
Was nice. Amen. Oh, I was going to read John 11 and beginning with verses 21 through 27. It says, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Amen. So there that belief is. Amen. And Jesus said to believe. And she did finally believe. Amen. So we have to believe also. Amen.
You have to act. See, that's what believing is acting on the word of God. I mean, I'm talking about true belief. See?
Amen.
And if you believe something, period, you're going to do it. If you don't believe it, you ain't gonna do. You ain't waste your time trying to develop something if you don't think it's gonna work. Who opened up a business thinking, oh, it ain't going to work? Who does that? That's not the way that works. If you believe that tire is going to fit your car, you're going to put it on there.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, we thank you all so much.
It's true.